Welcome to the Watch Your Mouth podcast, the podcast about phrase etymology and why we say the things we say. I'm Milo.
And I'm Dave.
He's my dad.
And she is my daughter.
That's how that works. Guess what?
What?
Spring is in the air.
Oh, it's so cold. Do you know what the temperature is right now in Michigan?
Oh, in Michigan? I'm guessing something not too springtimey. I'm going to say 20 degrees.
It's a little better than that. It's about 25 today, the high of 28. It's very cold, so we're not happy.
Do you want to guess about Texas?
73.
It's 88 out right now.
What? 88?
It is 88, with a low of 59. Wow. But it's that nice dry 88 where it feels like a 70 degree sunny day, and it's beautiful.
Sounds like you're describing a wine.
The dry heat and a soupçon of floral.
A what?
A soupçon.
I don't know what that means.
It's like a little bit.
Why didn't you just say a little bit then?
Because I'm being a fancy wine person, even though I hate wine.
You do a sommelier?
A sommelier?
Yeah, that.
That one. Somalia. Okay.
You're being a Somalia. No, wait, that's a country.
That's a country.
I don't drink wine. Sorry.
Nope. Anyway, so spring is in the air, like I said, and with spring comes a couple of fun holidays that have some fun culture and fun phrases around them. What's your favorite spring holiday?
Easter. I'm a Christian, so Easter is my favorite holiday of all.
Easter is my favorite holiday of all, and I'm not a Christian, so I'm weird in that regard.
That's strange.
But we are not actually talking about Easter today. I probably will for my next episode because, like I said, favorite holiday. Not May Day either. Although I'm curious if people celebrate that in Texas because they don't in Michigan.
No.
But there are different places in the world that celebrate May Day. No, I'm looking at going back in time because we've been away for a little bit. So we're going back in time to St. Patrick's Day, which I realize is maybe more technically in winter, but it's right on that cusp. I feel like it's the start of spring.
Sure. Yeah.
Wonderful. I wanted to get a little Irish today.
I will go a little bit Irish today.
Just going to say, get your accent ready because I am going to make you do some of that because we are going to play an Irish game today.
Oh. Is it drinking too much?
No.
Sorry, Irish people.
Culturally
you know it's
insensitive.
True. I'm culturally insensitive and they're angry. My wife's Irish. What do you want? I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Then you have a free pass now.
Yeah,
no,
great.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about Irish history because I learned something really cool about how Ireland has preserved their history and more specifically how they've preserved their old language and the phrases used in their culture. So we're starting out going back in the time machine. Can you give me a time machine noise, please? Oh, that was very Batman cartoon.
It was, but it's what came to me at the moment.
I like it. So we're going back to the 19th century in Ireland, which historically, real rough.
Yeah.
Do you know about 19th century Ireland? What's going on there?
Potato famine?
Did get the good old potato famine going from 1845 to 1852, which in the language, in Irish, they called it Drosholl, which literally translates to the bad life. Rough time. So 19th century, starts out okay. Then right in the middle, it has that hard hit. Potato famine was a horrible time. There was widespread death, destabilization. It was miserable for everybody. So imaginably, after that, a lot of people left.
Yeah.
So in the decades following the potato famine, there was a mass emigration. People just leaving in droves. At least 1 million people are thought to have emigrated as a result of the famine, which Ireland, not a large country. So I got a little curious. I'm like, okay, how many people are actually in Ireland? And I found this very interesting article that talked about how, like, you know, Europe's had a hard time. There's been a lot of wars fought there. There's been a lot of, like, generations and generations of, like, problems there. Just like a lot of the world. But nonetheless, almost all the nations there have, the populations have grown exponentially. Like, they're just constantly growing. Ireland is not that way.
Mm.
Before the famine, Ireland had a population of around 8 million people.
Okay.
Today, it's about 5 million.
Wow.
So between, you know, now and then, and it's been a long time, but, like, Ireland has never recovered from this.
Wow.
It was a huge shock to their culture, to their way of life, to the land itself. And it was a very intense and dark thing that we hear about in passing a lot, but not kind of the actual, like, cultural significance and the effect that it left. Like, obviously, Ireland is a beautiful place. It is doing better now, but it has had some very hard times. But after, you know, all of this death and all of this emigration as people left for the US, for Europe, for all these other places to try to start anew, there were still millions of people left in Ireland who were really worried about their way of life disappearing mm-hmm. and their culture disappearing, for good reason, I think. So in the early 1900s, the government decided to put together the Irish Folklore Commission, which was this project where they just decided to document everything they possibly could about Irish culture. So this ranged from everything from artwork to folk stories to geographical maps of the areas and of neighborhoods and genealogies of who lived there, and also of phrases and language used at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating, actually. They did this in a lot of different ways. They conducted interviews across the country, and they actually had schools doing this. They had the school collection, where they had kids go out and interview their grandparents and their neighbors and the oldest generation
mm-hmm.
and just write down everything. And then the teachers helped them, like, congregate all that data in order to preserve the culture. So they ended up with around 74,000 pages.
What?
Of information about all these different aspects of Irish culture.
Mm-hmm.
So the surveys themselves were held between 1937 and 1939.
Okay.
So only 2 years, the school's collection put together ended up being 1,128 volumes.
Wow.
Compiled by 50,000 school children. So this is an incredible library of information and of, you know, it's a huge piece of cultural significance, and it's almost all online for free. It's digitized.
Wow.
But the thing is that a lot of it, there's so much of it, like, you know, 74,000 pages. A lot of it isn't even writ typed out. They just have the scanned documents. So you can just go through and see all these scanned documents in the handwriting and page through them. So I will say, I went through a lot of these scanning through for phrases mm-hmm. and for Irish language and witticisms and proverbs. And it was the most I've ever felt like a researcher. I'm like going through, like, scrubbing through all this cursive and, like, some, like, kind of kid handwriting, and it's signed by the teachers and some of the kids. And it's a really cool place to poke around. I'll put the link to it in the episode description. Because it's a really inspiring work of cultural pride and preservation. So it was a really lovely thing to page through. I'd be curious to, you know, I am not Irish, but I would be curious to see, you know, some of my roots laid out as lovingly and as detailed.
That's a whole ton of pages, and it actually is only a few thousand more pages the entire Wheel of Time series written by Robert Jordan. Almost as long, actually. It's true.
A deep cut.
Thank you. But in the 30s, you had had a large number of Irish people coming over to America, to the extent that they had the Inna, you know, about the Inna signs, they used to call them. You heard about this? It was more early. It's a little bit earlier than that, but people just have signs that were just Irish need not apply. Just right on.
Oh,
boom,
yes.
Just, and they called them Inna. Yeah. It's an acronym. But, yeah, I mean, it's just I didn't realize the potato famine was that long ago, And it's rather stunning the impact on population, and then their desire to preserve their heritage is wild. I did not know that.
Yeah. And inspiring, I think. Like, they just really held on, and despite, like, they lost so many people and still had such a drive to carry on and to make something beautiful. So it was estimated that at the very end of the project, you know, both with the school projects and the external projects, 375,000 pages were put together.
Wow.
Of handwritten accounts of Irish culture. And, you know, images and maps and all of that. So an incredible undertaking done in a wildly short amount of time. So I scrubbed through probably in the neighborhood of 50 of these pages.
Okay.
So, you know, drop in the bucket.
Sure.
But specifically looking through for phrases and proverbs. And I was not disappointed.
Excellent.
There are some delightful phrases. Unfortunately, because the history is warped and a lot of it, this is a lot of what remains, there aren't a lot of actual origins of where these came from. So that's less of what we're focusing on today.
Okay.
Instead, we're just focusing on, here's some really interesting phrases. And I decided to set up a bit of a game with it, if you will play along.
Of course.
So I have three lists of old Irish phrases that were preserved by this work. I have sorted them out into lists. So I'm going to read you a phrase, and you're going to have to guess what the meaning of that phrase is.
Oh boy.
If you get it correct, I will reward you with a very fun phrase.
Okay.
From the list. And if you get it wrong, then I'm going to read you one that no meaning was given. And I scrubbed the internet, could not find a meaning for these phrases. So you have to assign what the phrase means.
Okay. All right. All right. It's a little improv.
Sound
here.
Like
that's
fun?
What you're doing.
Yep, yeah. That's what we're doing.
All right. Let's see what we got. Let me flex. Let me flex a second. Let me stretch. You got to stretch before you work. So, okay.
Yep.
I'm ready.
Absolutely.
I'm ready. Yeah.
So, and if you want to echo them back in an Irish accent, I will not begrudge you that at all.
Okay.
I think the fun ones, like, you can't help but to, but for the guessing, you do not have to. So,
right.
Let's start. Ready. What does short in the pook mean?
Short in... I've got to work into the Irish accent a little bit. I'm not saying it's great, but you're saying short in the pook.
Short in the pook.
Short in the pook. maybe it means they're not very bright.
It does not mean that.
That
short
gentleman.
In the pook.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going on a scene there. You were improv.
I was. That gentleman over there, he's a little short in the pook.
It actually means easily irritated. So
it means
you just, your pook is like your patience, I suppose.
Yeah, like a short fuse.
That means it's punishment round.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bom, bom, bom. So this is an Irish proverb, which I did see put on some, like, inspirational poster-looking things, even though I cannot understand what it means. Ready?
Okay.
It is natural for ducks to go barefoot.
And continue.
That's it. That's the proverb.
So what that means is that ducks have a crazy amount of self-confidence, and they know they would look stupid in shoes. So it basically means if you're really confident, you're like a duck. That's what that means.
Okay. It means you're just living your best life.
Came up with that. Ducks are living their best life. They don't take criticism. It's just like water off a duck's back. I mean, they just, ducks are out there doing it. They're living it, yo.
Okay, this is one of my favorites. This is another guess. Ready?
All right.
Water bewitched and tea begrudged. What does that mean?
Water, oh, sorry, the Irish accent. Water bewitched and tea begrudged. Is that right?
That's the one.
Water. All right. Bewitched water and tea begrudged. I mean, tea is a big drink over in Ireland. And so this is not a good thing to have bewitched water and begrudged tea.
Yeah.
This is explaining this is a bad situation. You're basically describing something that's gone poorly and you're not happy with how things have turned out. That's what I'm going with.
You're not entirely wrong, but it's more specific than that.
I'm sure it
is. Specifically is just referencing weak tea.
What?
When the tea is not strong enough. Which, what a dramatic way to say that, right? This is water bewitched and tea begrudged.
Can you do it with an Irish accent yourself?
What? I can't.
Eric, it's all right.
Water bewitched and tea begrudged.
There you go. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Was that more Scottish?
It was, but it's okay. It's, you know, sorry, English, Scottish, Irish.
I'm going to say, though, tea is so important, and it's very disappointing when your tea is weak, so I'm going to give it to you and give you a reward of a fun phrase.
Yay!
Let's see. This one's more like it's another proverb. It's a piece of advice. Keep your mind to yourself like a bovine.
Yeah. Yep, you bet.
Beautiful.
You should keep your cows to yourself. To be bovine.
No, keep your mind to yourself.
Yeah.
Like a cow.
Like a cow keeps a mind to itself.
They sure do. Not so chatty, the cows.
You don't know the mind of a cow. He's just saying, please don't take me to McDonald's. That's what he's saying. That's what the cows are thinking.
Yeah, the cow is afraid of cannibalism.
Eat more chicken.
Well, let's continue with the tea aspect.
Okay. All right.
What do you think there's a frog in the kettle means?
The frog in the kettle is...
And the silver spoon.
Little boy blue. Sorry. a frog in the kettle. A frog in the kettle is... It's you're about out of water in the tea. I don't know. The frog drank the water and now we're burning a frog alive so we can consume its flesh.
I'm going to say you're in the neighborhood.
Really?
Okay. It means that the water's taking too long to boil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's sort of right. If we're being very generous. And you are a very generous person. I've always
said that
about you.
And I am a very generous person.
You are.
So this is one that reminded me of an interaction I had this week. Here's one of your rewards.
Okay.
It's a way to greet somebody. How's every inch of you?
How's every inch of you?
Right? With the fun ones, it's so hard to not say it in the accent because it just flows with it. I think it's delightful. No, but I had a very sweet interaction with an older lady this week when I was out walking. She stopped me and wanted to talk to me because while I take walks, I read books. And she stopped me to talk to me about books in the local library. So we talked about that a bit. And then as I was leaving, I was like, oh, you have a lovely day. And she said, thank you for being a part of it. And I was like, what? A beautiful sentiment. So when I saw that, how's every inch of you? I'm like, that's the same thing as that old lady. It just like seems like something she would say.
Are you going to say that to her next time you see her? How's every inch of you?
Oh, absolutely.
You say you
how's
walk.
How's every inch of you?
You walk and read at the same time? What?
I do, yes. You didn't know that?
You walk down the road while reading a book?
I don't walk in the road.
Well, good.
So... This is either a sidewalk activity or there's a series of trails by my house that I go on to take walks, and I read while I walk.
You have you're using a Kindle or you actually have a physical book?
Either.
Do you walk into things?
No. I have peripheral vision.
Well,
and like you walk and you like dart your eyes up like every couple sentences to see what's coming and then right back down.
I've never seen a human being do this.
Really? I will say I do get weird looks very often.
You think?
And I do get people, I get older people stop me a lot to talk to me about it.
disturbed.
No, someone like that lady I was just talking about, she said she was proud of me.
What were you reading? I want to know what you're reading.
It was very sweet. I was reading Impro. Oh my gosh, I can't think of his name. Johnstone. Keith Johnstone. Okay, so back on track. Okay, this is one that has to be said Irishly, so I'm not trying to, but I'll probably slip into it.
Okay.
So this is a guess one. Such a morning never had a mother.
Such a morning never had a mother. Well, if you don't have a mother, it's a bad thing. So I'm saying you're having a really bad start to your day. You've had a really bad, got off on the wrong side of the bed kind of a thing. That's what I'm going with.
It's specifically a very cold morning that leads to a bad morning.
Oh, okay. So the cold, but it's a bad morning, but yeah, that's a win.
But because of cold, because it never had a mother.
Oh.
So this is my favorite one. You've earned my favorite. Ready?
Oh, yay. Yes.
So this is an insult.
Oh.
And it might take a second, but okay. So he'll never comb a gray head.
Wow.
Right? What a good insult.
He'll never comb a gray head. You like
that? I told that to my roommate because we always talk about our cat. And we're like, there's no way he's dying of natural causes because he's so stupid. He just always does dumb stuff. And so he'll never comb a gray head, even though he's a gray cat. Well, he doesn't have thumbs.
It would be weird if he was combing his fur anyway, but sure. I get your meaning.
It'd be a very Tom and Jerry situation.
It's very dark. Very dark phrase. He's gonna die young. That's what we think.
This is maybe... So as I was looking into this one, I think this is the most... So other than ones that, like, I've seen many times before, because there was a lot of them, right? There's a lot of Irish phrases that we use all the time. And they've worked their way into the culture. But this is one where I was like, oh, this is kind of on the cusp where, like, I don't think it's in use anymore, but I've definitely heard it.
Yeah.
He is on the pig's back. What does he is on the pig's back mean?
He's on the pig's back. Well, I don't think it would be a good thing to be on a pig's back. I think he's going through a hard time. That's what I think. Someone's going through a hard time. That guy's really on the pig's back. Or maybe he's drunk.
That is the exact opposite of what it means. It means very fortuitous and fortunate.
Oh.
I don't get why. This is one where I was like, so when I was originally formulating this episode, I was like, that one seems like one I could dig into and actually find a history for. And there was like a phrases.co.uk page for it, but nothing, not an actual meaning. Like, there's some history of it being used in old documents and stuff, but like, why is being on a pig's back fortunate?
It's good to have a pig, I guess, especially if you're starving. I mean, it's good to have pigs.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that's good. Why.
But and one why... big enough that you can ride around, I guess.
Why would you want to be on the pig? I don't know. That seems strange. Okay, that's a fail then. I got the exact wrong.
That is a straight up fail because that was a absolute opposite. So how about you tell me what it means when you say, what won't choke will fatten and clean dirt is no poison.
All right. Well, it means that if you... this comes back from old Irish, back in the potato famine days, the bad days. So if you can get it down, it's edible. And even if you have to, good dirt is very important to have very good dirt. So it's basically like, eat what you're given. And it's, even if you don't like the taste of it, at least get it down because it's better than nothing. That's my take.
Okay. So this is another one that I think is used in today's parlance at times. So what does between the devil and the deep blue sea mean?
He's between the devil and the deep blue sea. He's in a lot of trouble. You're screwed. Mm-hmm. You're in a bad situation.
Yep. In between a rock and a hard place, right? It's basically an equivalent of that with a little bit more flavor.
Much better flavor. A real zest to that flavor. Some salt, if you will.
Zesty.
Rusty.
Okay, so another proverb. Ready? Mm-hmm. Just as well sing sorrow as sigh it. It's almost a tongue twister.
Just as well sing sorrow as sigh it. Interesting. Yes. That's kind of cool.
Say it three times fast, please.
Just as well sing sorrow as sigh it. Just as well sing sorrow as sigh it. Just as well sing sorrow as sigh it.
Hey, nicely done. Audience, I also encourage you to try that because it's pretty fun.
But try it in an Irish accent.
There you go. Now do it in Irish.
No. they've had enough of my Irish accent. People are just like, if he does that one more time, I'm turning this episode off. Maybe Saturday I won't do it anymore.
Okay. How about buttermilk that would take the pearl off a piper's eye?
Good night. You're just making crap up now. That's not a thing.
This is an actual one that I had to parse out of very hastily written cursive.
What did it say? Maybe you got it wrong. Say that again.
I did not. Buttermilk that would take a pearl off a piper's eye.
It feels like it's gone buttermilk that's gone bad. It's just like
there
sour
you go,
buttermilk.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Okay. You can't punish me. You can't make up a punishment for that one because I nailed it, yo.
That's why I'm giving you the reward for it in a good one.
Well, I know, but sometimes you gave me a punishment even though I was kind of right.
But you were 100% right, so good job.
Thank you.
How about, what hurry is on you?
What hurry is on you?
Why are you in a rush?
Yeah.
What hurry is on
you?
Yeah,
I like that.
What hurry is on you?
See, if I went to Ireland and someone said this stuff to me, I would just hug them. And then I would get another restraining order.
Yeah, add to your many, your collection.
Hey, restraining orders are no laughing matter. I should not be making fun. They're very important, and I don't have any.
They are very important.
Yeah,
and
it's
no,
true.
My
they
dad
are.
Does
they
not.
No, I don't
have one. Okay, this is...
as far as you know. I don't.
Okay, ready to guess again?
I'm ready.
Not a bit of me was doing much the day.
You're just lazy that day. You're just lazy. Yep. You're relaxing.
Not a bit of me was doing much the day.
Not a bit of me was doing much the day.
Delightful.
Thank you.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Another favorite as a reward.
Mm.
May you live till the skin of a gooseberry makes a coffin for you.
I don't know what that means. That's what?
Right?
What?
So this one I loved so much. I actually did look up like the historical precedent, and there is a book from 1907 called The Aran Islands by J.M. Singe. So I'm just going to read you a little bit of it.
Okay.
I was to go out fishing tonight, said the younger as he came in, but I promised you to come, and you're a civil man, so I wouldn't take 5 pounds to break my word to you. And now, taking up his glass of whiskey, here's to your good health, and may you live till you...
Yeah, go ahead.
And may you live till they make you a coffin out of gooseberry bush, or till you die in childbed.
None of that. Okay, I don't like any of that. I don't know what gooseberry is, but I don't
it's
know why.
It's a toast.
Why want to be
May you live
coffin?
Till the skin of a gooseberry makes a coffin for
What's
you.
A goo-
like, it's supposed to be like an impossible thing. Like, you can't make a coffin out of a gooseberry because it's a berry.
What is a gooseberry to begin with? No one knows what
it's
that is.
It's a kind
is.
Of berry.
It is not. They're making
that you can't make coffins out of.
Are there berries where you could make coffins? That'd be a bad coffin.
That would be a bad coffin, which is why it's a toast, because it's like, may you live forever.
Okay.
There may which have... is maybe kind of a curse also, though.
Yeah, well, but... yeah, immortality. Watch what we do in the shadows. You find out that the vampiric curse, it's a curse, not a blessing, to uh-huh. live forever.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Okay, so just there. A couple more.
Yeah, okay, okay.
You're doing great.
Thank
I'm
you.
Proud
thank
of you.
You. I appreciate it.
I hope the audience is also playing along and doing well.
I hope so, too.
So this one is very... It reminds me of like a fantasy book, the way a character would be described. Ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She's a blade. What does she's a blade mean?
She's thin and dangerous.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very literal.
That's me.
Depiction there.
She's a blade.
No, it means she's crafty. She's like thinking ahead and is a crafty person.
I got that one wrong. I guarantee that. Yeah, I know.
You did.
Yeah, okay.
How about you tell me then what it means when you say, it's a great day for young ducks.
Great day for young ducks. What is with the ducks?
Have you had, I don't know. They really like ducks.
Have you had duck meat before? Have you had duck meat?
No, I have not.
I have had it on nachos. It was at a restaurant, Brewery Vivant, here in Grand Rapids. I do not like duck meat on nachos, apparently. Anyway.
I think I've actually had those same nachos.
I didn't like a great...
maybe I have had duck meat.
A great day for young ducks?
It's great day for young ducks.
It's because it's raining a lot, and young ducks love the rain and the water. You know, they love to paddle around, and they're doing their thing, and they're going to have some food. And I don't know, I'm talking like this, but that's what it means.
Delightful.
Thank you.
Again, for the audience, just in case you're not clear on the premise, I don't know what that means. He could be right.
Well, I'm right.
Again, tried to look it up. Found for that one some pretty mixed things. Some people did say like rainy weather, and some people said it was like a hunting thing, and some people said it was like a thing about the fondness of youth or something.
They don't know.
I think it's just a we don't know thing.
I'm right. They're wrong.
Okay. Last one.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
A nose that would take a thorn out of a goat's tail.
It's a really big nose. It's a big nose. Someone with a big nose. Or like a really a very good sense of smell.
Oh,
or they can inhale. They have great pulmonary system. They can inhale. Yeah,
oh,
sniff
now
it
I'm
out.
Thinking of inhaling a thorn and I don't like that. Okay.
No. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm going to say that...
come on.
I'm going to say that's close enough.
Yay.
It's a sharp nose.
Yay, I win.
Yay.
I got that one right.
So, sort of. Reward. I'm just going to power through the last of the reward ones. This is your like bonanza surprise.
Is it falling
joy.
From the sky like confetti?
It is.
Okay,
which
go.
Is funny because one of them is a mizzle of rain, which is just another way to say like mist. A mizzle of rain.
I like
it's
mizzle.
Like drizzle, but mizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah. As clean as a leak.
I don't like that.
Again, you kind of have to say it in the accent.
Clean as a leak.
Let the latecomers kiss the hare's foot, which is a nice little subversion of Aesop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, as long as there's a bill on a crow.
Okay. All right.
These are so fun. I had a fun time with these. I do have one more that I'm going to make you invent, because with every good, there is a shadow of bad. Okay. So you're also getting punished for all those you got wrong.
I already got punished for those. All right.
And also maybe because I miscounted my, my list.
That's okay. What'd you got?
So what does it mean, keep the cat from eating the tongs?
The tongs?
The tongs.
The keep the cat from eating the tongs. Well, it's nonsensical because a cat wouldn't eat tongs. And to have no tongs would be bad, especially if you're grilling. So to keep the cat from eating the tongs is to keep someone from doing prevent someone from doing something stupid. And that wouldn't make any sense. What do you think, Milo? How about you throw a definition to one of these? What do you think?
Yeah, the tables are turning now. So keep the cat from eating the tongs, I'm going to say, is maybe like keeping something against doing something that's against their nature. So if you see somebody that's like not acting like themselves and like is kind of trying something that's not working for them, you can say keep the cat from eating the tongs and dissuade them from that. Be true to yourself. Is what I read like from that.
I think I like yours better than mine. I think that was good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This was a very fun little project. I know it was a very different episode than normal, but we just shotgunned a whole lot of different phrases, and I hope you found some that you would like to incorporate in your everyday speech, because I think there's a lot of fun ones. Did any of them stick out to you, or are there any favorites you had?
Well, I like the story of you walking and reading a book. And how we're both sort of able to do that a little bit in a different way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the old lady coming up to you, and then that story then tied with the phrase of how's every inch of you.
How's every inch of you?
I really think if I go to Ireland, and I do really want to go to Ireland, and I heard that phrase, I would just be so happy. And really just I could not comb a gray head and be happy at that point. There's a callback there. I was paying attention.
You are bald now, so.
Well, mostly. That chip is sailed. I have a little hair here on the side.
You do have a little hair.
And I have a goatee, so I could, you know, anyway. So.
True, you could brush your beard.
I digress.
No, I thought this was fun, and I really just love the mental image of all these school children, like, going around their neighborhoods with their little, like, booklets and asking around and getting these stories and having those moments of connection. There were some like handwritten folk tales, which were really fun to read. I encourage you to look through those. I'll post some pictures on the Facebook of the pages that I was looking at specifically for this. But yeah, just so many of them just rolled off the tongue so beautifully. And I'm so glad that they were preserved and that there was such an effort to keep this up. Because how else would we know about Water Bewitched and Tea Begrudged, which may be my favorite.
Yeah.
I do also like Frog in a Kettle, because I do make multiple cups of tea every day, and I feel like I could actually use that one. And, you know, what better advice is there than it's natural for ducks to go barefoot?
It's true, yeah, and it's a good day for young ducks, or whatever the heck that one was.
It's a great day for young ducks, it's true. I dare you, okay, hold on, I dare you at work this week at some point to say that to somebody.
They already don't like me there. It's a great day for young ducks. It's not going to help. No, I love the Irish. I love the Irish accent, and I'm not pretending that I'm that good at it. So, you know, we're just having fun. But I love the musical quality. I could listen to that really strong Irish accent. I could listen to it for just so long, and I can't help but try to mimic it. I just, because I like it so much.
Yeah. We are human parrots.
We really are. You and I definitely are, for sure. I hear something and I just, I like the way that sounded. So I will go to Ireland someday. And I will try these phrases out, and we'll see if I hear them. So,
excellent. Report back.
Yep.
And listeners, please report back if there's any of these you would like to incorporate in your daily speech. You can write those on our Facebook group if you would like. Share which ones you would like to say more often, because I think there's some good ones in here that could bear repeating.
Yes, absolutely.
But you can also bear repeating this episode to other people by giving us a... review on your listening platform of choice, or on iTunes or Facebook, or just share an episode with a friend. Get the word out there and the words out there. Oh, ho, ho. See what I did there?
Good job, Milo.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you to Tona Gebhardt for our theme song. Am I missing any notes?
No, I'm just going to mention again, this is still new for us, even though if you've found us on the Silly Linguist page, you'll find a little blurb at the beginning of every episode, but that this relationship just started recently for us. So definitely check out the Silly Linguist page. They've got a couple different things going on over at YouTube, and he has a Facebook page too, Steve the Vagabond and the Silly Linguist. And there's some great memes and stuff with languages. And it's not just English. It's all kinds of different languages. It's pretty fun stuff. I've enjoyed it for a number of years, and we're excited to be having that relationship with them.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a wonderful thing. Yeah. And we are glad to be here, and we're glad you're here with us. So we will see you next time. But in the meantime, I'm Milo.
And I'm Dave. That was the time travel sound effect again. I wanted to bring it back.
Oh no, we're time traveling back to the beginning of the episode. Oh no. Stay curious and carry a hatchet.